presented by Groundwork Collaborative.
Hey, good morning, Playbookers. I am Deputy Editor Zach Stanton. It is Friday, June 7th, and here's what's driving the day. Yesterday, President Joe Biden spoke on the cliffs of Normandy and marked the 80th anniversary of D-Day with a speech that warned about the spread of isolationism. Turning his eyes to the east, he vowed that the Western allies backing Ukraine will not walk away and warned that all of Europe will be threatened if Ukraine falls to Putin's aggression. But, as a group of my colleagues report this morning, those promises are being met in Kyiv with a heavy dose of skepticism, seeing as it comes as Biden has recently reasserted his opposition to allowing Ukraine to join NATO and has opted not to attend an upcoming peace summit in Switzerland. Today in Paris, Biden will meet with Volodymyr Zelensky, where the Ukrainian president will press him on four key items on his wish list: seizing $300 billion in Russian assets, using it to fund Ukraine's war effort, getting more long-range missiles from the U.S., and asking Biden to allow him to use those missiles to strike back deeper into Russia rather than just simply in the border areas near Kharkiv. For more on all of that, be sure to check out this week's episode of Playbook Deep Dive. Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza sat down with Delaware Senator Chris Coons, who gave his perspective on Biden's trip to Europe and the ongoing, interrelated, and divisive foreign policy questions in Ukraine, Israel, Asia, and the border. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., Donald Trump is on a big money swing through the West Coast as his campaign is newly flush with cash, despite, or perhaps because of, his conviction last week on 34 felony counts stemming from business fraud related to covering up an affair with adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Joining me now to talk more about Trump's post-conviction fundraising juggernaut is national political correspondent Meredith McGraw. Good morning, Meredith.
Good morning.
So you wrote this piece about Donald Trump's fundraising swing throughout the West. What's going on? It seems that his fundraising has really continued undaunted since the verdict last week.
Donald Trump's fundraising really was turbocharged by that guilty verdict that we saw last week in New York. His campaign, the RNC, the super PAC that's supporting him all reported pretty blockbuster numbers in terms of fundraising. And his campaign is hoping to capitalize on that momentum that they saw off of that guilty verdict in this West Coast swing. Now, this has been in the works before, long before the trial, the guilty verdict, all of that. But still, they're hoping to attract millions of dollars in support from mega donors on the West Coast and really try to close the gap that they've seen between the Biden campaign, the Democratic Party, and Trump and the RNC.
So, you know, it's notable that last night he was in Silicon Valley raising money from a community that typically hasn't historically been thought of as particularly friendly to Republican interests. What is going on there? You know, why is it that people are they coming to the conclusion that they need to get involved? Or is it that they're seeing momentum in Trump's favor and they want to get in on the ground floor? Unpack that a little bit.
Well, I think there's always been conservatives in Silicon Valley, low-key conservatives, if you will. San Francisco obviously is not known to be a hotbed of Republican support. And yet, among some of the richest people there, they have been known to support Republicans over the years. You can think of people like Meg Whitman and others who have been big names in Republican fundraising and Republican politics. But Trump is bringing together a pretty big heavy hitter group that includes David Sacks and his wife. They hosted the dinner last night at their palatial home overlooking San Francisco Bay that went for $500,000 per couple at the high end. And that also included some other venture capitalists. And this was put together in part because of Senator J.D. Vance. He has a lot of contacts in the venture capitalist and tech world. And he has really pushed to get David Sacks on board with Trump. And he's been a big supporter, obviously. And J.D. Vance now is on the short list to be a vice presidential pick as well. So you know, I think for the Silicon Valley crowd, when I've talked to a few donors who were going to be at the event, they said that they were attracted to Trump for a few reasons. They said there's been heightened interest because of things like tech regulation and disappointment in the Biden administration over that, and also things like crypto policy. One of the donors I spoke to said that Biden vetoing the legislation last week that would have rolled back an SEC guidance on crypto accounting was a big blow to the crypto community, and Biden received a lot of criticism over that. So it's sort of been, I think, a slow burn, if you will, with some of these tech donors. That being said, it's not like this area is gung-ho for Trump. I don't want to misrepresent San Francisco area as being some sort of like MAGA enclave. It's the opposite of that. And Vice President Kamala Harris was there fundraising at the same time.
You know, for so long, we've talked about this money advantage that Joe Biden and Biden's allies have had over Trump and Trump's allies. And it really feels like that's starting to evaporate.
Yeah, for a long time, that has been the going narrative, that the Biden campaign and the Democrats have had this fundraising stronghold. And they have. They have done a really good job of attracting donors, of fundraising, all of that. But we have seen a major pickup with Donald Trump and with the Republican Party. The numbers that they announced after Trump's guilty verdict, it is hard to overstate just how eye-popping those numbers have been for Trump and the Republicans after his guilty verdict. And they really are trying to gain momentum off of that. And, you know, we note this in our story. This really comes at a time where traditionally we see an uptick in interest from donors. And so it's not unusual to see some acceleration. But at the same time, these are big numbers. So it will be interesting to see if they can keep up that momentum.
Well, Meredith, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And for your schedule today, the Senate and the House are out, and President Biden is still in France. This afternoon, he'll host a bilateral with President Zelensky of Ukraine, and later, he'll deliver remarks to honor the legacy of Pointe-du-Hoc and democracy in Normandy. The music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Callan Tansel-Suddeth is our podcast producer. Annie Reese is managing producer. Mike DeBonis and myself are our editors. I'm Zach Stanton. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Our tax code isn't fair, and it's time to fix it. For too long, the tax code has been slanted towards the wealthy and large corporations. As a result, the economy and our country has suffered. The expiration of key provisions of the Trump tax law in 2025 is a rare opportunity to reform the tax code to make it fair, raise revenue, and support equitable economic growth.